He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday. It is Monday, October the 27th. Do you know where your portfolio is? Well, we'll do our best to try to decipher and break down what's going on in the market today. I do know this. It's all-time highs. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And it's the Best Stocks Now show with the Dow up today. Optimism over a trade deal with China. In fact, a lot of progress was made over the weekend on towards that end. The Dow's up 303 points, 47,510. That is a record all-time high. Ditto for the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ is up 360 points on this China optimism. That's 1.5%. Huge gain for the NASDAQ today, 23,565. I've never said that number before on the NASDAQ. Why? Because it's never been this high before. And ditto the S&P 500. It's closing in on 7,000, believe it or not. The S&P is up 65 today to 6,587. Small caps up 93 basis points today. A little move higher in interest rates. We're at 4.03% on the 10-year. Gold is getting hit today. The rare earth stocks are getting hit today. And Bitcoin is up 1,300 right now. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite. He's back, our chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. And Barry, there's been a lot of progress made between Trump and Xi over the last several days, and that's got the market all excited here so far today.
The rare earths are a good judge in terms of, if things are going well, rare earth prices you would think would come down, right? And then, of course, things aren't going good. Rare earth prices are going up. So that's one of our gauges at the moment.
Yes, and rare earth stocks are getting clobbered today. Why? Because I don't know if it's official yet, but the rumor is that China will pause for 1 year the restrictions that they put on those rare earth, all important rare earth minerals. And that, of course, is helping the market. It's helping AI. And on our end, we're getting a big boost here. And a lot of the AI stocks, with maybe us making available to China, we'll see how this all plays out. More of the AI software and chips, et cetera. And, well, we left off Friday with record highs in the market despite some really rich valuations, okay? We can't ignore that because I've seen a party in the market back in 1999 and 2000 that carried valuations this high. We're there now almost with those same valuations we saw in 2000. Will this time be different? Is the earnings quality and sales growth far superior to what we had with the dot-com stocks back in 2000? We just have to be aware of where those valuations are right now and be on guard. But record highs across the board. Okay, the world stage, first of all. You know, the polls had it wrong. The media had it wrong. They kept saying that Milei was behind down in Argentina in the election there. He's a big controversial figure. He's an ally of President Trump. He's got the same chainsaw in his hands that Elon Musk helped take to our government. Well, he won pretty big over the weekend. And the Argentinian stocks are way up today. Wow, look at that, 35.4% on the Bank of Argentina, Banco Macro up 34%, Pampa Energy up 25%. So big gains in Argentina. Hopefully our investment in Argentina is paying off. I hope Bessent, Treasury Secretary Bessent, is closing out that trade for the U.S., but we did help them, and we bought some of their currency, and hopefully making money on that here today is Mile. Big win down in Argentina. One of the few South American countries actually voting for, you know, a non-socialist government. U.S.-China trade deal hopefully on tap following negotiations over the weekend. Bessent said the additional 100% tariffs on China are effectively off the table for now. Supposedly they're buying soybeans again. And by the way, Bessent owns a soybean farm, I want to say in Michigan, somewhere in that area. So he's happy. He is he's not out there running the tractor at night and plowing the fields. He rents. He gets rental income off of that soybean field. And he added that, China supposedly will resume substantial purchases of U.S. soybeans. That's good for our soybean farmers. The rare earth stocks, on the other hand, are feeling the fallout of this. But I certainly would not say that rare earth is out of the picture for now. I mean, they've done a one-year pause. We know that we need it long term,
which could last a month.
Yes, it could next week. They could say, okay, it's back on because, you know, of some kind of disagreement. And obviously, we need to get off our dependence upon China for those rare earth minerals. And there are some news updates on a few of them. One up in Idaho today, which is building like 1,300 homes up at their antimony mine in Idaho, the mountains of Idaho. So I would say rare earth is still in play, but it's definitely down today. Meanwhile, looking north, Trump says he will not resume Canada trade talks for a while. And I do see that they are pulling, the mayor of Toronto is pulling that Reagan ad where Reagan, talked about his opposition to tariffs back in those days. I got to believe Trump's rooting for the Dodgers against Toronto in the World Series. No, I don't know that for a fact, but I don't think he's happy with Canada right now. And then, of course, later this week, if there's not enough going on in the world, we're going to have 175 earnings reports this week from S&P 500 companies, including 11 that are members of the Dow. So this is the heart. This is the very heart of earnings season. Many of the Fabulous Seven will report this week. But Trump is headed to Asia. He's already made deals with a lot of the smaller Asian economies like Vietnam, Cambodia, etc. But obviously the big one will be China later this week, and him and President Xi will get together in South Korea. I wish I had Trump's energy, to be honest with you. I don't know what he takes every day, if it's that, you know, that thing with 105 minerals that they advertise all the time, right, or if it's just natural, if it's just in his veins, if it's just his genetics. The guy has a lot of energy, that is for sure. I think we get a monetary policy decision this Wednesday, right? And we're expecting another rate cut. So, man, I'll tell you what, there is a lot on tap. That's what makes my job so interesting.
It's hard to find anybody out there who expects, you know, who doesn't expect at least a quarter point cut.
Yes, okay.
That's why you haven't heard much about the rate.
Yes.
About it this weekend.
That news just kind of slips through the cracks with all the other things that are happening in Argentina and China.
Yeah, we got big tech earnings coming up.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to review what's coming up, preview the earnings week ahead. But before we do that, when we come back, I'm going to go over where we're at so far in this earnings season. And, you know, if you want to know how well this earnings season is going so far, consider that all the indexes hit new all-time highs on Friday. We have not had a lackluster earnings season. Man, I can't even remember the last one. It's a tribute to corporate America. A lot of it, maybe 10 or 15% of the companies that really drive earnings in the S&P 500. The other 85 are just there as filler, kind of, and producing those single-digit earnings growth and sales growth numbers. But there was some remarkable earnings reports last week. But it pales in comparison with what we have on the docket for this week. So when we come back, we'll review where we're at so far in this earnings season, and then we'll preview this week. You may own or work for or be very aware of a lot of the companies that we're going to be mentioning that will be reporting those all-important quarterly earnings this coming week in the market. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kitens, the Best Stocks Now show. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We also have the first day of voting, early voting in the New York City mayoral election, which has drawn a lot of attention, Barry. And Mom Donnie is way ahead in the polls. Will there be another exodus to Florida? Maybe they'll head down Sarasota way, and at least they can hear our show down there, Barry, in Sarasota and in Orlando. But we shall see. New York can do some crazy things from time to time, but it does look like he's well ahead of Cuomo in the polls. Okay, here we go. Earnings season. Let's first give an update on where we're at so far in this current earnings season. And as you know, I give a lot of weight to earnings as it relates to the equities market. Just as real estate is all about location, 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 and interest rates and affordability and things like that. The stock market's lifeblood, especially for the indexes and individual companies, are earnings. And if you never get to earnings, you're in big trouble. That's the issue with a lot of the biotechs, rare earth stocks, the smaller nuclear stocks, etc. They're all hoping for earnings someday. And then there's those companies out there that have established earnings, and those earnings are on the runway right now, and they're taking off. You've also got companies that have soared to 30,000 feet, and they've been coming in for a landing, and their earnings have been decaying and decelerating over many years. And a lot of them are down to, like, single-digit earnings growth right now, which is something I don't really favor in my own philosophy on the market. We try to find, a baseball team tries to find superior players to stock their lineup with and their roster with. We try to find those stocks in today's world that have those superior earnings growth, if you're a growth investor, okay? So let's take a look at where we are right now in this current earnings season, which I believe we're about 20% into right now. We've got 87% of the companies beating their earnings, 83% beating their earnings estimates. Once again, that's a very big number, and once again, it points to the fact that they love to beat earnings estimates. And you would think that the analysts would get wise to this, but this has been going on for a long time. They know how to sandbag those earnings estimates.
The earnings, the old earnings game.
That's the earnings game, yes. And you've got a big percentage of the companies that are beating those earnings estimates. In fact, a robust number, not only beating earnings estimates, but also sales estimates. Now, at this point in the game, we've got, we're up to 30%. 30% of companies have now reported. Now we're looking for 9.2% growth in earnings versus the same quarter last year. And let's not forget that the same quarter, comparable quarter last year was record earnings. This quarter is going to be record earnings for the S&P 500. We're looking for 9.2% increase over this same time last year. There's a big reason why you're seeing new record highs in the markets, in all the indexes.
Yeah, and you're getting, I mean, the other thing is, too, you're looking at this stuff on a weekly basis and updating it in the newsletter with your S&P outlook. And, you know, we're going to get, you know, you're going to have a lot more information after the end of this week. We get five of the seven, you know, quote unquote magnificent seven names. We get Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, Microsoft, and Meta later this week.
Yep.
So with this trend in place, those will increase that percentage of how many have reported.
Yes, and with this trend in place, with 87% of the companies beating their estimates, that 9.2% could be over 10% expected growth by the end of this week. What you don't want to see, and we will see it at some point in time, you'll get an earnings season that all of a sudden, you know, we're maxing out and we're starting to put out lower expectations. Now, that's not happening yet. Expectations are still going higher than what the analysts originally anticipated. When we began this quarter, we were expecting 7.3% growth, and now we're at 9.2% growth expectations, which works out to $67.91 in earnings from the S&P 500 companies. That compares to $62.78 this same comparable quarter last year. Now, wait a minute. Let's look out 12 months from now. The estimates for 12 months from now would be $78.40. Okay, that's what the market is trading on now, are those future expectations. Now, before we go out and party like it's 1999, which it pretty much is as when it relates to valuations, we now have an S&P 500 forward P.E. ratio of 23. Okay, the last time it got to 23 was in 2021. That was the sugar high COVID year when we saw extreme speculation in the market.
And
we're at that level again.
And virtually 0% interest rates, which,
yes,
you know, can provide for a lower PE ratio or a higher PE ratio environment.
Yes, and you know, and a difference between 2021 and today is the Fed was moving into a tightening mode in 2021, about February, March, and we had a really bad year. We had a 30% drop in the market. We had the bond market get crushed. We had Silicon Valley Bank go down because of their heavy exposure to long-term bonds, and we had a huge sell-off in the market. Last time the forward PE hit 23, the NASDAQ went down about 30%. Now, this time we're entering into a Fed easing cycle. We're already in a Fed easing cycle. So that does make a bit of a difference, but you can't ignore the fact that we're now hitting valuations that we haven't seen since the year 2000, early on in 2000. I was there managing money when I saw the valuations get this high. I also witnessed a 79% sell-off. Not a 30% sell-off, a 79% sell-off in the NASDAQ. So that might sober you up a little bit on this celebration Monday. Just remember, and it's not just forward price to earnings. You know, over the weekend, I showed where we're at in price-to-book value, record highs, way by far. Where we're at in price-to-sales, we're back to where we were in the year 2000. And price-to-cash flow, which really is probably the truest number other than price-to-earnings ratio, and we're hitting record highs in price-to-cash flow. Oh, we're back to where we were, almost in the year 2000. So you've got to keep that in mind, because if some adverse event, whatever it may be, you know, you have a very...
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. It sounds like I talked right through the music there, Barry. I didn't hear the music in my ears, but that's okay. I guess we're talking about when the music's over. You're too yeah, young to remember, but the Doors had a song, "When the Music's Over." When will the music be over? Okay, I don't know that answer to that question, but I do know that you cannot ignore valuations. Valuations do matter. Earnings matter a lot, okay? But the price that you pay for those earnings also matter a lot. And in the newsletter on Friday or Saturday, I showed the history of the four most well-known valuations. I did it on the S&P 500, and I did it on the NASDAQ. The S&P 500 right now is trading at a price-to-book value of 5.6. The highest it's been is back in the year 2000 when it got to 6.0, okay? And that was before the big sell-off that ensued. It began in March of 2000. I'll never forget that one. I was there. I'm glad I witnessed it, okay? That was good experience, even though it wasn't any fun to go through. It's good to have that in the back of your mind when you see the valuations get to where they are right now. Price to earnings right now on the S&P 500 is 28.5. We got to about 32 back in the year 2000, 32. Price to cash flow right now on the S&P is 19.4. And that is exceeding now the 19.2 that we got to back in the year 2000. Okay, and lastly, price to sales, we're hitting record highs. We've never seen price to sales on the S&P 500, at least since we've been keeping records. This is now 26 years. We're hitting 3.4 on price to sales. We got to 3.1 back during the sugar high of 2021 before we had about a 30% correction in the S&P 500. So we're charting new ground in price to sales. We're matching all-time highs in price to cash flow. And, you know, I mean, there has been some, we have booked some profits, especially in the more aggressive ends of the market. All right, so like our emerging growth portfolio, which has had a fantastic year, that's running at about 65 or 70% cash right now, just through natural attrition as we trim, as we cut back on risk, as we book big profits, as we start to see technical charts start to wobble a little bit. Our ultra growth portfolio, which has also had a fantastic year, and it's had a tremendous since inception, January 1st, 1999, with no guarantees going forward, obviously. I'm thinking that's at about 40% cash right now, just through natural attrition and not being able to find anything new to replace some of the big profits that we've booked here.
Well, so when you do see a pullback, it's interesting because, you know, those are the places you see the pullbacks first. So, you know, yes. Even though there are our two most aggressive strategies, it just those happen to be in this part of the cycle, the places where you hold more cash.
Well, and they have the biggest gains, number one, which usually means they're the richest PE ratios, and they're the first to go with any kind of scare in a very expensive market. You know, I've seen these cycles many times over the years. You start to see the software stocks sell off. You start to see the semiconductor stocks sell off. But in this today's day and age, even above those, as far as risk and animal spirits and this kind of thing that we talk about, you're going to see the small nuclear stocks, the Oklos, the SMRs of the world go. They've already pretty much started that cycle. The rare earth stocks, which really are not investable, in my opinion, at this point in their cycle, they're very early on, hoping to find big, rich deposits of rare earth in mines, from Greenland to Alaska to Utah down to Nevada, Wyoming, etc., and of course South America. Those stocks are going to go. They're already selling off, right? Because that's where the real animal spirits are. That's those little tributaries that we talk about that fill up only during the highest of high tides and when speculation is running wild. And they're starting to fall. Now, the bigger stocks are holding up for now because earnings are holding up. The deal is these stocks that we just mentioned, they don't have earnings. These smaller nuke companies do not have earnings yet, and a lot of the smaller biotechs, the gene editing stocks, these are areas that are the most vulnerable that go first. And I've already seen, you know, kind of that selling in some of those areas underway. Never mind private companies in these packages that they're putting together and peddling to investors. At a lot of the RIAs across America, never mind private debt, which in my opinion is the furthest out on the risk chain. That one is out there. You're standing on a limb, and it's starting to wobble. I would not want to have exposure to some of those areas of the market right now with these premiums and valuation numbers running so hot. Okay, now, getting by with less. Hiring is slowing in the U.S. There's no question about that. And why do we watch hiring? Why do we watch the jobs market? Because those will be the first indications of an economy which has been expanding since 2009, March of 2009. We were in a bull market that began in March of 2009. I can't disagree more than with the call that one analyst made a couple of weeks ago that we're in the early innings of this current bull market. How can you ever make that kind of a statement? I mean, we're in the later innings of this current bull market. There's no question about it. Now, we can remain in this eighth and ninth inning for quite some time, but we're definitely not in the early innings of this current bull market, Barry. That's just insanity to make a statement like that.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that this particular cycle has more legs to it, right, or whatever. But you're certainly not in the early innings.
No, not at all. I mean, look, we put out in the March 2009 newsletter. I'm going to reprint that cover page one of these days in the news. I said a new bull market is beginning. That was after a 53% sell-off in the S&P 500. That was a pretty good market call. What has happened to the market since 2009? We've gone from 680 to 6,800. That's a tenfold bull market. Now, I'd never ever rescinded that call on that bull market. We've had a couple of sell-offs where we lightened up, including the year 08 and 09, wherein that was a bear market. And we did say that things were getting very, very dicey during that period of time. And we raised a lot of cash prior to that, and it sold off. The S&P sold off by 53%. We put out another bull market call. Well, that was the 08 to 09. The sugar high period of this market was in 2021, and that was another sell-off in the further nether reaches of the market, okay? And then in 2023, we put out on January an all-in signal that the Fed was done hiking, the NASDAQ had bottomed, and it was all in. That was our second market call, bullish call. And then the third one was during COVID. Actually, that was before the sugar high, wasn't it? In 2020, March of 2020, when things were the darkest. So that's pretty good. And then, of course, on April 8th of this year, that was the fourth one, four for four. We said that the tariffs are going to work. Well, here we are. We've gone from the S&P 4,800 to the S&P 6,800. We're up 2,000 points on the S&P 500 since that March, April 8th low in the market. Okay, we've got Avidia surging on a Novartis deal. We see a buyout. I live on very close to the Cooper River. I go up the Cooper River a lot. Brookfield Asset Management is in talks to buy nuclear reactors from Santee Cooper Berry. That's right, in our backyard. And Brookfield Asset Management is a cousin to Brookfield Energy Partners, BEP, which owns one half of Westinghouse. So here's another nuclear stock all of a sudden, which is BAM. B-A-M. I want to say it's a partnership. Look that up during the break, Barry.
You got to go where you want to go.
Back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. We do have one company reporting here today. That's Keurig Dr. Pepper. And you know, Barry, you may not, most consumers may not realize how many brands, right, that they have accumulated over the years. You don't really realize that you're involved with the Dr. Pepper product. But here we go. I was just looking at they have 125 different brands. It's not a very good stock, to be honest with you. It's a single-digit grower these days, high single digits, mid-single digits. But obviously, their number one brand, Dr. Pepper. 7-Up belongs to Dr. Pepper. Crush. I still like a Grape Crush from time to time. Canada Dry, Sunkist, Squirt. You ever drink Squirt? That's grapefruit, kind of a grapefruit. How about Clamato, Barry? You ever drink a nice Clamato? Clams and tomato juice. Yeah, you know, you got to be in a certain kind of mood for that. Yeah. Schweppes, Hawaiian Punch, Real Lemon. I've had plenty of those green bottles in my refrigerator over the years.
Oh, yeah, you know that, yeah.
Use a lemon lot of and lemon in my house.
Yeah, both of them, yeah.
Snapple. Now, the story on Snapple, I remember in the year 2000 when the animal spirits were really in place on the NASDAQ. Snapple was one of the hottest stocks going, and it eventually got bought up by somebody. I want to say
Coca-Cola,
Quaker
right?
Oats or
was it
maybe
Coca-Cola?
Quaker Oats.
Yeah.
And it was a horrible, horrible purchase. You hardly ever even see Snapple anymore. Other brands, Dr. Pepper. How about Yoo-Hoo? Those little chocolate drinks?
Yeah.
How about A&W Root Beer? Werner's Ginger Ale. I like that. Barrel-aged. Stewart's Root Beer. That's one of those
that's a
premium,
pretty good one. Yeah,
premium
that's a quality
brands.
One. Yeah.
Cactus Cooler, which I used to fancy many years ago, pineapple and orange soda. Margaritaville Margarita Mix. Pentafil, which comes from Mexico. I've drank plenty of Pentafil. Now, they made that big, one of the best stocks we ever found, that I ever found, was Green Mountain Coffee, GMCR,
yeah.
With the K-Cup.
Right.
You know, it's almost, they've got a whole... it's all Keurig K-Cups now. No more Joe DiMaggio, Mr. Coffee Maker, and this and that. They bought Green Mountain and Keurig. You know, they did don't have the patent anymore on that K-Cup. But Dr. Pepper owns Green Mountain. They own Swiss Miss. That's my go-to in the mornings when it's cold. Listen to this. They own Krispy Kreme Donuts, Donut Shop Coffee, McCafe, which is the coffee they serve at McDonald's. They own Cinnabon, which, you know, in all the airports. They own Newman's Own, Caribou, which we come into contact with Caribou
yeah.
when we visit Minnesota there in,
yeah.
in the mall.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, that's about it. But oh, and Mott's apple juice. So those are some of the brands that this soggy stock owns. We don't own a Keurig Dr. Pepper, but you know, if you look at, it's just incredible. Like Campbell's Soup, how many different brands yeah, it, that they own? Coca-Cola.
It's one of the things. Yeah, it's a product. You know, it's one of those things. It's a product we might all have on our shelves, but it's not a stock that we should have on our shelf
no.
in our portfolios.
No.
Right? I mean.
Okay, and we'll end with this. Antimony. Okay, not alimony. Antimony. Perpetua Resources. Let's see how it's doing today. They've got a big antimony mine up in Idaho, which they're really ramping up. PPTA is the symbol. I have it on my watch list. And it's not down with the other rare earth stocks today. It is down a little. It's down 33 cents. But there's news coming out of PPTA this morning. And, of course, antimony, you may not know that. It's not in any of these drinks we just mentioned. Although it may get in there accidentally, you know, you never know. You get a little dose of antimony in your Keurig Dr. Pepper. But antimony is used for the following. Military applications. It's used in armor-piercing bullets, night vision goggles, and infrared sensors. See, they want to make it sound like, oh, we need rare earth for these electric vehicles.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, right.
You don't need armor-piercing bullets for electric vehicles. It's used in lead-acid batteries. It's a flame retardant. It's used in paints, enamels, and glass. But here's the kicker. This probably is the number two behind weaponry. It plays a critical role in semiconductor applications and is essential in various technological fields. So, the story on Perpetua today is Agnico Eagle, which is a great gold mining stock, is making a big investment in Perpetua. They're going to break ground on their stibnite project in Idaho, which is expected to produce the only U.S. reserve of critical mineral antimony, also one of the highest-grade gold producers in the U.S. And if you need a job, ATCO, little company, is building a 1,052-person dormitory lodge and office facilities with site preparations in Yellow Pine, Idaho. My son-in-law is from Rexburg, Idaho. I looked up Yellow Pine. It's north of Rexburg. It's north of Boise. It's up in the mountains, probably a beautiful spot to hang out. If you're looking for a job, they're going to have a nice dormitory there for you up there. And you can go mine an antimony every day. It should be in operation by the first quarter of 2027 to support antimony mining operations. So there you go. All of a sudden, it's not gold we're after. We're after antimony. Okay, well, we're out of time. We're getting ready to print the T-shirts for the 2026 Tour of America. I haven't lined that up yet. We're thinking Houston, Minnesota, Colorado, Pennsylvania being at the top of the list for 2026. To get 4 weeks of our newsletter and the app and everything that comes with it, go to GundersonCapital.com. To set up an appointment with us, if you feel like you're in a bunch of soggy stocks, we'll either confirm it for you or deny it. You don't want to be in soggy. It's all about earnings growth. Call us and make an appointment with us. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.